My name is Brooklyn Clark. I'm 16 years old. Today is December 3rd of 2017, and I'm speaking with Portia Clark, who is my mother. We are recording this interview in Plano, Texas. Where did you grow up, and what was your childhood like?
Well, I grew up in two different places. So a portion of the time was in Long Island, New York, and then a portion, I guess as I got older, was in Garner, North Carolina. The next question was, what was it like?
Yeah.
Living in New York was awesome. We had family on our street. So I just remember having free reign to be able to walk back and forth down the street. It didn't matter, you know, who you talked to. You know, you knew everyone. It was a tight-knit community. And then we traveled into the city often, so it was great. But I can tell you that when I moved to North Carolina, late middle school, like pretty much getting ready to go to high school, I hated it. I initially hated it, but it grew on me, so it got better.
Are there any funny stories from your childhood?
Of course. They're always funny stories. So one that I can think of, I remember, you know, I was the youngest, and my siblings were teenagers when I was born. So I remember my brother buying me these, they were fireworks, but they're like the fizzlers, like they
sparklers?
Like sparklers, yeah. And I remember him giving them to me, and it must have been around the 4th of July. Well, again, me walking from my house to my cousin's house, there was a man who worked for the electricity company, and he worked for them. And I remember him, you know, saying, "Hey, little girl, what is that you got?" And, you know, but everything was very innocent back then. Anyway, I told him what I had, and I said, "Hey, you're interested? You know, you want a couple?" And my brother, he probably gave me like 10, and I sold 6 of them. And so I remember going back home, and, you know, he's looking at me, and I'm probably, at this time, I'm probably like 4 years old. And so I said, "Hey, you know, look what I did." And he's like looking, and he's like, what did you do?" And I told him, and anyway, everyone just died laughing. Another funny story that I can recall, they say that I was early to read. And so we would go on road trips a lot, and I remember reading everything. They said I would read everything, all the billboard signs, everything. Well, anyway, I found a love of, like, cliches. And so, and this was, I was probably around that same age, like 3 or 4, and I just remember saying, like, "The grass is always greener on the other side," you know, and like, and they'd be like, "What?" And sometimes it matched, sometimes it didn't, where I would say, "Well, you know, they say sometimes the glass is half full, you know, it can be half full or half empty."
Oh my God.
So anyway, that was another funny story.
What was your life like in high school?
My early high school experience was pretty good. I was different, though, and a lot of people didn't like me because I was from the North, and, you know, we went to a fairly rural, you know, not very diverse, not very forward-thinking high school. And so, but it was good just because I didn't mind that. I didn't care whether people liked me or not. But I just remember, you know, having a couple of different friends that I was really close to and, you know, spending time with them and learning a lot. I think the school overall was great.
In high school, what did you do with your free time?
Well, I hung out with my friends a lot. I love to read, and so I would go to the bookstore every week. The bookstore that I would go to had different seminars, different speakers to come in. So I was like a local at the bookstore. So I did that. Of course, shopping was huge. There was Crabtree Valley Mall, and I was the type of person that, you know, we would have contests for everything. So it would be like the person that, you know, could go the longest without repeating the same outfit, or, you know, the best stomach, because Janet Jackson was really in. It was like washboard abs, you know, who has the best stomach, who has the best legs, who has, so yeah, shopping was big too.
What's at the top of your bucket list?
I love traveling. So I would say going to Israel. Going to Israel, yeah, is number one. Our church just went there, and that was, it seemed like they had a really good time. But next I would say Paris. You know, I'd like to go to Sicily because my mom's family is from there. But definitely traveling to exotic places.
Cool. Money didn't matter. What would you do with your life?
Oh my God. If money didn't matter.
Like dream career, like.
Dream career or like, if money didn't matter? Because my dream career.
Or like, what do you want to do? Like, what are your, I don't know. Yeah. What would you want to do if money didn't matter?
I mean, if I could just do whatever and I didn't have to work, I would create a nonprofit, and I would definitely help people. And it would be like a nonprofit first to help single moms and kids, and then, you know, to branch out to, you know, maybe teenagers, maybe orphans, you know, whatever, you know, veterans, disabled veterans. But I would definitely do charity work. If I already had the finances to secure my lifestyle.
What's been the happiest moment in your life?
Oh gosh, the happiest moment, like one, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, the happiest one moment of my life. I don't even know. I mean, I can't say that there's one because
it was when I was born.
I mean, I have three kids, so I don't know if I could say that. But since this interview is with you, then I can say that, yes.
Sure.
I mean, I definitely would say that I think the happiness is going to come through my kids. I would say to date is when, you know, my oldest two and my youngest is an infant, so he hasn't had the chance, but dedicated their life to Christ. I mean, I would say that that's a plus, because at the end of the day, when I am dead and gone, you know, my responsibility and what my hope is that my kids are independent, you know, contributing members of society, you know, following, you know, the religion that I follow, just because that's what I think is right. But hey, you know, yeah, and just being good citizens. So that's what I would say. I know that really isn't an answer, but I would just say, you know, having my kids turn out to be good people.
What is the most important social issue to you?
The most important social issue, gosh, again, do I have to pick one?
Maybe two.
Yeah, I mean, the first one, I guess the one that really gets me first would be, you know, hunger, you know, because some people live in a way where they're very wasteful and, you know, have way more than enough. So I would say that's the first thing just right off the top that, like, I can't grasp my mind around is hunger, because, like, why, you know? And then, like, lately in the news, they've been talking about North Korea,
and, you know, the leader of North Korea, like how, you know, he's such a dictator, he's this, he's that, but the people are malnutrition, is like, what? And even in the United States, people that are hungry, like, how could that be when there are so many of us? There are millionaires, like, what? It just, I don't know. But that would be the first one. And then the second one would definitely be social injustices towards minorities. You know, in some cases, you know, people didn't come here, I mean, to, like, for a better life or whatever. They're here because of whatever, you know. And, you know, but they're here and they're American, so to treat them unfairly as if they're second-class citizens is ridiculous, especially what just happened in Puerto Rico. That's crazy, because I heard a lot of people talk about them as if they weren't even U.S. citizens. And we still, even though we know that they are, from what I've seen and heard, we don't treat them. They don't get the same aid. They don't get, you know, so... I would say that, you know, and that would encompass racism, bigotry, profiling, just stereotypes, ignorant thoughts, you know, against people that don't look, talk, and think like you. That's what I would say.
Family tradition do you value most?
Definitely Sunday dinners and Christmas time. Around here, we have Sunday dinners. So I love to cook. My daughters love to cook. They love to eat, you know. So we eat together as a family. One of my daughters is in college, so she comes home every Sunday. Sometimes she brings her college roommates, and we eat. So I would say that's the first thing. It's just gathering around the table, and breaking bread and sharing stories of the day of the week, anything like that. And then next it would be Christmas, because we do love decorating. We love the spirit of Christmas. We listen to Christmas music. We decorate the tree, you know. It's just a great time of the year, and, you know, we all appreciate the joy that's in the household, and it's something that, you know, when it's not around, I'm always like, bring Christmas, I need the Christmas spirit, and so a lot of times we end up putting the tree up early, or I even leave it up a little bit later.
What's your favorite holiday and why?
Oh, so yeah, Christmas. Christmas is my favorite, number one, hands down. My faith means a lot to me, so it helps me to reflect and think about the true meaning, you know, and that, you know, what my belief is that, you know, Christ was born. He came to take on sin. He came to be sin so that we could be saved, so that, you know, there would be a sacrifice that was made on our behalf that was unblemished, that was perfect, because we're not perfect. And so it just helps me to think about that and to humble myself, because no matter how good I think I am and how good I want to be, I'm never going to be perfect. But the good news is that I don't have to beat myself up about it, is that it's already done, is that I'm forgiven because of Christ. So I would definitely say Christmas. If you want my second choice, I would say Easter. But what did you think?
I thought you were going to say New Year's. It's my birthday.
No, it's not about you. I would say Easter, but Christmas is the best, hands down.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
Oh, my gosh. I had several. So my name is Portia Nicole, but my sister always called me Nick for the Nicole. Everybody calls me P. My main name is Willis, so sometimes they would call me PW, P-Dub, but yeah, those were the main ones, Nick and P, and people still call me P.
Share two important life lessons that you've learned.
One is manage your money right. People waste a lot of money. First of all, when you don't have money, you really realize the importance of it. Secondly, it's not to be wasteful, because there are going to be highs and lows in your life. And if you manage it well, and if you're a good steward, you know, some of the lows won't be as bad as they could be. So that's one of the things, I think. And life lessons. And not to be, gosh, this is hard, because there are so many, but I would say something that I am still working on really hard is not to be so judgmental, and that I'm not perfect, so I can't expect others to be perfect. And just to love, you know, I think that's the same thing, just to love people, because we have a tendency to be short-tempered, we have a tendency to not forgive, we have a tendency to judge people, discount them, discard them, you know, it's crazy, and my tendency is, it's easy to be judgmental, because I have a lot of opinions, so it's easy just to throw my opinions around and go with it, but that's not the way to be.
Where would you want to live if anywhere were an option? And, like, if you didn't have, like, kids, or I guess you would still be married, but whatever.
You know, again, you're asking so many, like, pointed questions. I mean, if I could live anywhere, I would probably live in New York.
Me too.
I mean, it's so expensive. That's why I don't do it now. But I love New York. I love the city. It energizes you, you know. You know, I literally gets my thoughts going when I'm there. Like, I always, that's where I always get, like, a business idea when I'm there. Yeah, I like a fast-paced life. I'm like, let's get it. Let's go. So it would be New York. But then my second choice, if I had to come up with a backup answer, it would be to just not live anywhere and just to travel to different places.
What role does religion play in your life?
Huge.
Huge.
Not like I'm perfect. I don't have it all down pat, but like I try to read scriptures every day. I try to meditate on what God would have me to do. I teach it to my kids, like, you know, when I'm working, you know, I try to work as if I'm working into the glory of God. So it's huge for me, but it's so easy to forget it too. So just as easy as I'm saying, oh, I do this, oh, I do that. I get reminded every day that I'm nothing and I'm bad and I'm always doing something stupid. But that's the good thing about it, is that we already know that we're not perfect. So it helps me to work on myself every day.
What are your views on the current presidency and how does it affect your daily life?
Oh gosh. What is this? Where does this information, like, where do these questions come from?
I made them up.
You made them up?
Yeah, I made them up.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, you know, he's not my choice, is what I would say. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't think it's good for the United States. I don't think it's good for the world. I wonder, you know, I think it shows the sign of the times, like that we can be going through this, that literally, like, I watch the news all the time. So it's amazing to me that we can literally have 5 different headlines every day on the president that are skewed as negative. Like, it's just amazing. And, you know, it makes me wonder, the reason why I say it's like a sign of the times is, you know, all those conspiracy theorists and all that, like, I wonder if they're right. How they say, oh, Illuminati controls the world, like, and they use these pawns to get their agenda across. Like, I wonder if he's a pawn. Sometimes then, because I know he's not stupid. I know that. I know that a lot of stuff he does is outlandish and just ridiculous, but I know that there is a method to what he's doing. I do know that. So it makes me wonder what that method is. I don't know. I don't know whether he's backed by somebody. I honestly don't know, but I don't like it. I don't like a lot of the people that he's put in place. I think that they're all yes men. I think that he doesn't surround himself with people with different views so that, you know, holistically, like, they can come together and come up with the best ideas. I think he rules by fear. I think it's just so many things. I think, you know, the fact that he didn't even carry New York and that they didn't vote for him, I think that means something. I think, you know, when you go back to his old neighborhood, a lot of those people don't support him or his family. Like, it's crazy. But as far as my life, it actually, it doesn't affect my life as much. I can tell you that the stock market is booming. It's ridiculous, and that's great. So I don't know how that's working. The market loves him, maybe because he's a businessman. Like, I don't get all of that. But that affects me, and I actually like that piece. But all the negativity, it doesn't affect me on a day-to-day basis. But I don't know how, you know, the whole race war is going to play out. So I think that is something that could potentially affect me. And then what's going on with North Korea, that's going to affect us all if we don't get that together.
Is there anything else that you would like to tell me about yourself or about your views on life?
Anything else that I want to tell you about myself?
Yeah, or like anything you want to say. Like, do you want to go back on any of the questions?
Yeah. I would say, oh, I guess maybe since my husband just walked in the room when I'm talking about high school, I should talk about that. I don't know. I met him in high school. But I would say that everything that I've gone through, the good and the bad, has shaped me into the person that I am. And, you know, I don't believe in bad experiences because any experience is a good one. Because it gives you the opportunity to do things differently or to learn from them, and that's why they're there. I think a lot of times we don't learn from the experiences, and that's why we say, oh, that was so bad. But I think that if you endure it, the bad experiences, as we say, and you come through on the other side by learning something, then it's always good. But I would just say that high school was very pivotal, I think. I don't know. Sometimes people are, like, lost. They feel like they're lost. Like, they didn't know, you know, they didn't blossom. They didn't whatever. I mean, I think to me, my experience in high school, because this is another thing. I didn't go through all of it, but my mother kicked me out of the house when I was, I guess, a senior. Well, she did it twice, actually. She did it in 11th grade, and then I lived with my sister. And then she did it again as a senior. And I would just say that it was just crazy. But all those experiences made me into the person I am. So, like, back then, like, high school, I knew. I was like, okay, I want to be somebody. I want to be driven. You know, when I get the chance to be able to control my life, you know, I want to control my destiny. Like, I know what it's going to be. I know what I want it to be like. Like, I'm going to push as hard as I can. I'm going to work hard. You know, all that kind of stuff just really stuck with me. And it helped me so that, you know, afterwards it was like, okay, you know, even though things happen, not exactly how I planned, but I still kept that drive. And I don't think I realized that drive in high school. And I was able to remember it and, like, keep it. So I guess that's the only thing that I want to say is that some people think, oh, I don't know why I'm this way. Or, you know, they have dreams in high school and they're like, oh, it's just a fantasy. It's ridiculous. I think, you know, if you really think about it hard, if you really search yourself, you know, you may go back to that. And there may be a reason why you felt that way. I think, you know, sometimes we just let life happen and we wander aimlessly and we end up in situations that that we didn't plan on, that we didn't control. And I think that's a crock of crap because you control your life. When you become an adult, you can do what you want to do. So if you want to do something, make it happen.
That's what he